And my baby fuss and fight. And the next minute,
ain't nobody's business. The great Jimmy Witherspoon passed away on this day in 1997. Reminding you on the way to this conversation, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com. All right, it's that time of the month. Chauncey Whitehead is in the house, fitness professional, owner of CDW Health and Wellness Lifestyles, community fitness activist who changes human beings' bodies one step at a time.
That's it.
Miss Ernestine Shepherd joins us, personal trainer, professional model, world's oldest competitive bodybuilder at 78 years old. And I'm beginning to get a complex, Miss Ernestine, because you're not in my studio anymore.
be there next month.
All right. And Ron DeSilva joins us once again, division administrator for good the Baltimore morning. City Cancer Program. Always good to have you with us here as well.
Thank
in
you.
The studio. So, tell us, Chauncey, what are we doing here?
Well, it's September, and good morning, Baltimore.
Good morning.
It's time for our September walk. Ma Ernestine and myself, and of course, Rhonda and the Baltimore City Cancer Program. We're going to have our walk this Saturday, the 8 a.m. at Druid Hill Park. And our theme this month will be our food drive for the fall and the winter. We are asking people to please bring some non-perishable food items because we want to make sure that those that are in need, that they have something to eat throughout the fall and the winter.
So was it same place, same time?
Same place, same bat channel, same bat time. Druid Hill Park around the tennis court areas is where we're going to start.
All right, good. It'll be a beautiful weather for this
walk. Oh, Rhonda and I were talking about it's going to be nice and cool. Yeah. Just there's no excuse not to be out there this month.
No excuse.
No excuse, Mark.
None
no excuse.
None.
You know, I was going to ask this question just to see what your thoughts are. Let's go back to Chauncey for a moment. We'll go around the room. Yesterday we had the UMA boxing crew on the show.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
These young women who are into boxing. And one of the things that... Even if you don't get in the ring and box, which I don't do anymore, as you know. But even if you don't get in the ring and box, he was saying on the air, Chauncey, how boxing, the training for boxing, the exercise for boxing, is probably one of the best all-around kind of fitness regimens you can find.
Well, you know what? What I always tell people, if you look at track and field, former track and field athletes and former boxing athletes, they still look good. Have you seen Sugar Ray Leonard lately at almost 60?
Looking good.
You know,
you look at Floyd Patterson as he got older. Mm-hmm. Because of the training, there's no shortcuts. There's not a bunch of supplements and a bunch of pills. It's cardio and hard work. You look at most boxers as they age. Oscar De La Hoya still looks good. Pernell Whitaker. Most of them still keep that fitness that they learn, that it's hard work, cardio, and body weight exercises. You can't cut around it.
That's the name of the game.
Oh, that's it. I mean, you know, I dabbled in the fine arts until I got my head ringed a couple of times.
Me too. That's exactly what it was, right?
I still use those same disciplines before I get into the gym and lift weights or before I do anything. You know, you got to do your road work. And once a boxer learns that the road work is the most important part, he or she never forgets it.
That last hit I took in Philly made me realize this was not going to be my game for life.
I remember mine too, Mark. That's why.
But you know, Mark, I've seen in the AARP magazine, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh, he looks great.
He looked simply great, and he mentioned the various things that he's doing. He's not overdoing it, but he's doing enough to stay fit and healthy.
Yes, he surely
That's
is. I have that same AARP magazine, and he looks great.
And
he skips rope, and it's like Ma Ernestine said, he's just doing enough. He's not doing enough to try to get in the gym, and that's why we're trying to promote walking, is that he's just doing enough to stay fit at 58, moving close to 60, and he just looks great.
And Ms. Ernestine, I mean, I think that's it's really important before we turn to Rhonda, that you haven't heard a word yet, she'll jump right in, is that to come back to you for a moment and your story, because I think people who may be tuning in for the first time don't understand where you come from with this and how old you were when you really began thinking about being fit.
Actually, I was 56 years of age when I decided I wanted to change my lifestyle. And don't you know, Mark, that has helped me out tremendously. I feel better than I did when I was younger. And then the other thing is, with me doing this, what I want to do is to inspire and motivate others to get started. I truly mean every word of what I say and do. I lead by example.
Right. And you do
Which
that.
Which is a great.
Rhonda?
Yeah. You know, I also think that a lot of times, and I hear what you're saying, you started at 56, and I also started in my 50s. And I think it's important because a lot of folks look at, oh, you got to get the kids out of the way, you got to get them out of the house, and then you have some peace. But I'm doing it because at this age, I just want to stay youthful, and I want to stay healthy, and I want to stay up with my grandkids. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to, if I fall, be able to get up.
Right.
Without breaking something.
But you're just so precious. You're just as cute as you can be.
So, you know, when we talk about the importance of walking, also diet, I think, is really a critical piece. We all look at diet, among the four of us, the three of you especially, I'm talking about right now, in a very different way. Ms. Ernestine, you have a very strict regimen in your diet, right?
Yes, I do. I eat the same day in and day out.
Yes, she does.
And that's no tail. That's the way I actually eat. And it just makes me feel great. And I don't ask anyone to eat exactly like I do, but to just change some little things that you do. You can have your cake every now and then if you want it, but not every day. My goodness.
You say not every day.
And also, increasing your water intake, that's what I found. Increasing the water intake, my fruit intake. Of course, some fruits have sugar, so you have to be careful with that. Mm-hmm. But your leafy vegetables, what a wonderful thing. Didn't think I would like it, but I'm telling you, it's working for me, and it's really. And folks need to consider changing your diet.
Right.
And you do consume a lot, Chauncey, but you also run a lot.
Yes, I do, Mark. I do want to say that, I'm not a certified dietitian or nutritionist, and sometimes we need that type of expertise, but I am a runner. And a lot of times people come to me and ask me, well, Chauncey, what do you eat? And I tell them I eat to run, because there's a lot of times that I consume, as Ma Ernestine knows, a lot of calories, because, when I'm running 7-minute miles for 10 to 11, 12 miles, I'm burning a lot of calories. And I also use that, Mark, as an excuse to eat, because runners tend to, she you know how we do. We tend to say, well, I'm eating this pasta and this all this garlic bread because, I'm a runner. But I believe that you should eat to live, and you should eat for the different physical activity that you do. I see a lot of construction workers, and they're still pounding down their pancakes and their potatoes. But if you're slinging drywall for 10 to 12 hours of the day, you're doing a lot of physical activity. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting in a cubicle for 8 or 9 to 10 hours a day, I don't think the pancakes and the potatoes and all that is a good idea.
No.
Because I've noticed that one of the things about the workouts you give, and we have not worked out, my wife's been working out with you almost every other day, but I have not worked out with you in a little bit because
some true. Of this
personal stuff going on. I haven't been able to get down to visit you. But your exercise routine was interesting. This is different than others that I've experienced, is that a lot of the movements you put people through are movements that have to do with your everyday physical activity.
Right. Functional exercise, functional movements. I can remember years ago when I went to a functional exercise class, and I know that as we age in life, whether you're 29 or whether you're 39, 49, 59, a lot of the things that we need to do are just movements to get us through the day.
Right.
And I believe that the exercise should incorporate functional movements during the day, because as Rhonda knows, working with the cancer program, a lot of times they may not be trying to train for a race. They're just trying to trying to get out of the bed.
Absolutely.
Or trying to make it to the market.
Absolutely.
And please, you know, expand
on that. And it is so important because during cancer, it is so important for your nutritional level to be at the highest and that you're concerned about what's going in your body because you know that you have already, with the chemotherapy or radiation, you have to be so cognizant of what you're eating. And it is, protein is important. You need to get rid of the sugars during this time because you just want to, it's already stressful enough on your body with the chemo and the radiation of these foreign liquids that are in your body. So we want you to be so cognizant of eating healthy. And so those who are going through cancer care, speak with your oncologist. Talk to them about what you're eating so that they can steer you in the right direction. Even if it's a nutritionist that they may steer you to, but it's so important to be healthy, eating healthy, going through cancer.
Oh yeah, and functional exercise. You know, Mark. Because sometimes I've had individuals tell me that they just want to be able to pick their grandkids up. You know, they just want to be able to get out of car without their knee wobbling.
Yes.
And it's like you said, a lot of the different exercise disciplines that I put my clients through, I try to get them to see that each one of these exercises are going to help you get through the day because that's most important.
And also, we as parents and guardians, we really need to look at the children, get them off of the PlayStations.
That's right.
You know, the other day my granddaughter said, "Oh, my thumb is bothering me." "Oh, it's bothering you? Oh, I know why. You need to get off of this thing." And so we need to really push our children outside. We don't see in the school systems where they're having gym like they used to have, like we used to have. So these children must. We're having obese children with diabetes, high blood pressure at a young age that should not be.
I mean, that's one of the crimes to me, I think, that when we talk about all this, Mr. Ernestine, is that the whole idea, what's happened to the notion of physical education in our school systems, I mean, that it's just gone.
It is.
Yes.
And the importance of that, of you know, running around the gym, climbing ropes, which was what gym used to be.
That's it. Uh-huh. That's
right.
It. Climbing,
it
playing, jump, throwing.
And making it kind of, it was play, but it was physical exercise, and we've lost all that.
Mm-hmm. We most definitely have. But, you know, with the ladies and the guys that I train, we're all just about in the same age bracket. I got some young people, but I know how to train them because I know what I can do, and I'm not going to put them into something that the younger kids would be doing, jumping and carrying on, because we don't want to do that. We want to be mindful as to what we can do. And believe you me, you should see the changes in these people that I have trained. And I'm so proud of each and every one of them. One exercise I love to see that they do, I have them lying directly on their back, and they lift their legs up as high as they can get it. Take the tip of their shoe and take their fingers and hold on to that shoe and can hold those legs up and move them back and forth. Before, they couldn't do it. That's showing flexibility. These are the things that I like for them to be able to do, and they do it.
And
they feel good about it.
They do.
And which you also said, another piece of exercise I think is important, and what I'm going to come to. And folks, I want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org or tweet me at Mark Steiner. Your own thoughts on physical fitness, what you do, and why you're probably going to show up this Saturday to walk with Chauncey and everybody else. But 410-319-8888. Because, you know, I think people who look at working out sometimes as being nothing but lifting weights and doing those kind of exercise. But what Ms. Erskine was talking about in terms of flexibility is kind of critical to...
Extremely.
Extremely.
Extremely important, and especially, you know, as we age. Sometimes I look at babies, and I wish I could have that flexibility where I could have my foot in my mouth and my hand
right.
And you realize as we get older, we have to practice and work on flexibility. Mm-hmm. And most of us forget that there's three disciplines in fitness: cardio, strength, and flexibility.
Right.
And flexibility is not stretching. It's actually taking the time to take the muscles through a full range of motion, 60, 90 seconds or longer. It doesn't have to be Pilates or yoga, but just take your time to relax and breathe and stretch. And my understanding is so correct that when you're working with an aging population, one of the disciplines that we should concentrate on more than anything, they're not trying to get strong. They're not trying to lift some weights.
No.
But as she said, flexibility. The flexibility flexibility, the muscles, taking them through a full range of motion. So if you do have a fall, like Rhonda said, you can get back up. Mm-hmm. Your recovery time is going to be a lot better if you're flexible while you're aging.
And also it helps with arthritis.
Oh, definitely.
My goodness. The stiffness that folks get sitting in one particular position. If you've got that flexibility that you're getting with a workout, you'll find yourself getting much better being able to stand up, to move your feet, and your stiffness may not be as long as it has been.
And I'm not flexible. People always look at me when I go to...
You're not flexible?
No. I have to practice it. When I go to yoga classes, and especially Bikram, hot yoga classes, they look at me and they see the long, lean, functional muscle. And I always tell them, I said, don't get this twisted. Don't look at this. I have to work at my flexibility to get in those postures. Mm-hmm. It's so then people say, oh, you really do? I said, yes, I have to work and practice my flexibility. I look like I'm flexible, but I'm really not that flexible. I practice at it. So all of us have a discipline that we can practice at.
Right.
So that's one of those that doesn't come that easy to me. So I really have to take my muscles through a long, full range of motion to be as flexible as I need to be while I'm aging.
And it feels good once you do that.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah.
So I talk a bit about, again, I'm going to go back to Saturday, and why you and Ms. Ernestine started these walks.
Go ahead, Mama. Tell them why.
Why do you think they're so important for our community to be in and what they mean.
Okay. What made me start the walk was the fact that during my exercise classes, at the end, I would always fold my hands and tell my group to make certain that they eat 5 to 6 small meals a day, drink plenty of water, strength train, and make certain that they do some type of cardio. So a couple of my ladies said, you always say about cardio, why don't you start a walking program? So I said, well, okay, I will do that. So another young lady, Faith, and I decided we would start the program. We started it July the 6th, 2013. And at that time, we ended up with about 88 people. And from then on, the next month, we had over 100. And then Chauncey heard about the walk, and he joined us. And he has enhanced the walk tremendously since he has come on board.
Is there a band behind you?
Well, that's good though. That's
what a segue. Yeah,
Miss Ernestine's theme, Rocket. So it brings us to walking and running. Miss Ernestine and I, Ma Ernestine and I, we had to walk and run a half marathon. And so one of the ways I motivated her, and we were going up the hills of miles 7 and 8 toward Lake Clifton, is I would call her phone, even though I was standing next to her.
Uh-huh.
Remember that, Mama? I would call her phone, and the Rocky theme would play, and she kept going harder and harder. And, so I came aboard the walk to help, my fitness mother and the community realize that walking is the easiest, cheapest form of exercise. And most people know that I believe in a community that walks together, talks together. And then we said, you know what, it'd be great to start partnering with other organizations to enhance the walk, to reach out to the community. We've had politicians come through. We've had all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And we're great to have the Baltimore City Cancer Program as one of our partners.
Yes.
Now, Mama Ernestine, will you wait for everyone like you did last month? That was fantastic. We kept up with you.
Well, you know one thing? That's what I really want to do, because I get the opportunity to talk with the walkers as opposed to me being ahead. I'd rather be back talking to the people. And I've met so many wonderful ladies, young people, gentlemen. I mean, everybody is just so wonderful. And it's my joy just to be around everyone. That's what I want.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And
we're going
into
our second year of walking the winter time, because we want to show people that you can layer up, you can be you can be healthy during the winter months. You don't have to let the pounds come October, November, December. You can layer up, you can get out and enjoy the fresh, crisp air. And it's a lot better than June, July, and August.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, they sang. They had.
Oh,
Mark,
yeah.
You should have heard them singing. They had a ball.
Oh, yeah.
They just enjoyed. And then also with the school supplies.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
We were so proud of everyone.
Yes.
Everyone brought something along. We don't want any money. Money is not what we're looking for. We want things to help out in the community.
That's right. You know, it's thank you, Mama, for mentioning that. Our last walk market was our school supply. So we collected. The community was so, so great. They brought so many different supplies, and we took them over to Patterson Park Charter School. And Ma Ernestine and I were there with the assistant principal and the principal giving out the supplies. And it's just a great feeling, a community that walks together, talks together, and helps each other.
Absolutely.
And it was just a great feeling to know that not affiliated with any type of government organization, that we just get together as a community to walk and support. Those kids were so happy. And all we did was ask people to walk and bring some supplies.
And they did.
And they did. And just like with the food, we shouldn't have to depend on so many of the food pantries. As a community, we can say, look, we're getting together on a walk. Ma Ernestine and I, come on out, bring some supplies. We're going to feed the community. We're going to walk and talk. And whatever the needs are, we can try to meet them.
So as we run out of here, tell us again.
Saturday, September the 20th, Druid Hill Park Tennis Court area, 8 a.m., 1 to 5 mile walk with Miss Ernestine and I.
John C. Whitehead, always good to have you in the studio.
Thank you
so much, brother.
Here.
Always good to see you. Miss Ernestine, see you very soon.
I certainly will. Love you, love you, love you.
Love you back.
Love you too.
We
love
Rhonda Silva. Always love having you on our studio.
Thank you so much.
And
the Baltimore City Cancer Program will be on Manic Monday, October the 6th.
So
tune in, Channel 13, 6:15.
There we go.
Okay.
So we're going to go to break here and come right back. We're going out with Star Spangled Banner. Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, man.
Passed me on this day in 1970. Let's do it,
Jimmy. All right.
Thank you all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.